355.
I'm inviting a class like that next week.
Yeah. Misalami. 355. Here. Now look, he puts this under Ashiran. So let's see what it sounds like. Beni begilachana shir leyoset harim dar sheme heres meilares veledarim eshal meyael le'avdeyael yiptah she'arim. It's a very, very sophisticated kind of a melody and a very sophisticated type of makam. Da da la 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 la. Da 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 da. What kind of makam could that be? La 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 la.
Is that like bayad?
No? It's almost bayad. Really, it's very close to the Kurdi. But they want to call them to Ashiran. La ram. Now, it could be that they wanted to use Ashiran because go identify this in the scales of the name of the notes. And you'll probably find that that's the note that they're starting the music with, the Ashiran note.
Okay. Do you think it's like the Bayat scale?
It could be. Okay. It could be like Bayat scale. I really can't identify it at this point.
Okay. I'll see what he means. You know, he has another section of his book where he labels what the scales are.
Yeah, but they're not very exacting.
Yeah.
They're not very exacting. See, because he's got a lot of screw up on the quarter notes and the half notes. I've seen his works.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the guy was an incredible patience to be able to write this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the same thing, right? That's the one below?
This just goes on. Here's Bamidbar going on.
Okay.
Here's Iraq and Hijaz. That's kind of interesting.
That's a contrast. That's a total contrast.
Right.
Okay.
Husseinian.
Now, so it's a total contrast. And there's nothing wrong with it. In other words, that in Israel, as time went on, they developed their own systems.
Right. And let me see. I guess things are pretty much the same. Rust, Iraq, Ajam, Siga.
Yeah, there's a contrast also. Or Rust and Iraq, there's the contrast.
Right.
But it's really not that much variance. I mean, it's interesting.
Right. Okay, now, here's Sukkot. He's not very particular about Sukkot. Siga, Ajam. Is there any reason
why... Who's not particular about Sukkot?
Edelson.
He may not have noticed it. This shows you here the finesse that Aram Sobhan had. Mm-hmm. They were more particular. They wanted to assign a makam to each of the Chol HaMoed days.
Do you do that here in terms of Chol HaMoed?
If the Hazan knows, if there's no Hazan, each guy they sing whatever the heck they want. They sing nothing. What do they sing?
But you know, when you're in shul for the first 2 days, you would make a distinction.
Oh no, when the masses are in the synagogue, there's no doubt they'll attend to the. See, these are definitive,
right?
Definite. Siga, Hazan, correct.
Now, why any particular reason why Siga is for the first day, Ajam for the second day?
No, but you'll find that those two have become like the roots for the holiday systems of Pesach, Shalosh Yagalim, Nachon, the Shalosh Yagalim, not Yamim Noraim, the Siga and the Ajam.
It's the same thing for Shavuot, Ken?
Yes, yes. It's Shavuot and the same thing for Sukkot, you'll find.
Right. Yeah. Here's Shavuot. Yes, Siga and Ajam. And for Pesach, Siga and Ajam.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Now, this is another one that was... This is very interesting for...
Oj just holds a very interesting thing. Oj is the opposite of Iraq. What's Iraq? When you go into a very low Siga, which is transposed to the G. We call it Iraq, right? I showed you before. Oj is when you start the melody from the top note of the scale. Just like we said, Mahur of the Rust family. When you start the melody from the top note, it's called Mahur. In Siga, if you start the melody from the top note of the octave, it's called an Oj. Look at your scale that I gave you with names on it of notes, and you'll be now. You once look at that chart because now you're going to get a lot of insight just by the names of the notes where they are located. By the way, that's all it's doing, showing its level in the octaves.
Okay.
And they would start a melody from that area.
Okay. And we talked before about the age of the system, and you said you feel that is probably at least a couple hundred years old in terms of the connecting the parashot with the makam?
I would say so. I would definitely say so, because we know for certain that over 100 years ago, 150 years ago, already this system was in usage. And the teacher of Hakam HaShe'ar, who was Alav Shalom
Tabush.
Okay.
You said he's also called Hamui, is it?
From the Hamui family, Tabush. He taught Hakam Moshe Ashkar the systems. Hakam Moshe Ashkar notated it, and he made his own scale, his own chart, what to follow up on each event. But he learned it from his master. But his master didn't get all of this material from his own brain only. In other words, any kind of these systems must have a metamorphosis, a form of development. It can't be all of a sudden somebody, I'm going to make the master mural and I'm going to paint 50 makams for 50 perashiyot. No such thing. It had to develop as time went on. Just as you find certain identifiable threads that anybody with a short analysis starts laying his hands off, for instance, Saba. Why are they doing Saba in here? Or if you'll notice the beginning of each white of one of the Hameshet Sefer Torah. Rust there usually. Why is there a rust there? Well, obviously, a rust was the cocoon from all of the other makams that came in Arabic music. As I showed you, just overlay rust over the bayat and over siga, and you'll find they're intertwined. One is really the continuation of the other. And I wouldn't be surprised if you drop the E quarter flat and started from F, you'll get a new system of makams. You see what I mean? But the point is that there have been identifiable patterns from before, so that, shall we say, conservatively, there must have been conservatively an imagery of this kind of a system for better than 200 years.
Is there any evidence that anybody talked about it?
No, because they didn't find it necessary. It was a hand-me-down.
Right.
I mean, because we see the creativeness of Tabush. Tabush is already so long ago. I'll give you a better system. Not a system. I mean, we're not talking about this. That Arabic pismonim were already identifiable with makam, etc., etc. Go look at the Bakashot Shel Shabbat. And the Bakashot Shel Shabbat, you're going to find names that are 400 years old. It's an amazing thing, but there are piyutim in there that are 400 years old, identifiable names. So you're going to tell me that nobody had the vaguest idea what was going on? Absolutely not. And what we receive today, the residue of those people that had come back from Egypt. Egypt was nothing but a Siberia at one time of Aleppo, where Aleppians went to Egypt to escape certain problems, certain situations, certain, whether it's military or whether for business purposes or whatever, until they created a community in Aleppo. In Egypt. But Egypt never developed their finesse of Arabic music in usage in liturgy as they did in Aleppo. Where do we see that? Although Egypt was a gigantic area for the development of Arabic music. Some of the greatest singers in the world were developed in Egypt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Sheikh Yusuf and all those old timers, great people from there. I mean, real masters, super masters. But it didn't creep into the prayer system of Egypt, while they were capable of understanding melody, etc., etc., but they didn't adapt it to pieces of prayer like they did in Aleppo. Aleppo made a whole business out of it. They created a whole empire of music around the prayer system, while Egypt did not.
And same thing would be true of Iraq and Iran, where the Jews.
I don't know. No, they're not that developed. Not Iraq, not Iran, but they weren't that developed. The major areas where music developed, the Arabic music really developed, was really in Turkey and in Egypt. But Turkey foremost was Turkey. The sultans of Turkey were really the masters of the Arabic music. And
also historically, Aleppo was I've read stories that were musicians, Arabic musicians went to Aleppo. they said that the musicians had to play their best because the
well,
Aleppo
but understand, you see, we are that far. Aleppo, as it's a separate right. entity, but understand, Aleppo was really what? Turkish. They were Turkish. Right. What the heck were the Aleppos?
Right.
But they had such a fine society that they were very identifiable, knowledgeable, etc. And they absorbed the local color of their music. What was the local color? Arabic music. I mean, what the heck is Turkish music? It's Arabic music, in essence. It is Arabic music. But they developed it at such a magnificent stage of science that's fantastic. I mean, all these makas that came out of Turkey, it's unbelievable. Well, the other ones are a bunch of boors. I mean, Iraq, a bunch of idiots. They didn't mean anything. The finest development of music was in the Turkish Empire during their reign. And it was automatic that Aleppo got it, because Aleppo was like what you might call here, what should I tell you, if you went like from New York City, your next gigantic city would have been Chicago once upon a time.
Right.
That's what Aleppo was. So you went from Istanbul, where do you go from Istanbul for you to do your business and your trading right. with the East, especially that's coming out of China? You go to Aleppo. That was the crossroads of the world.
Are the Turkish makamat very similar?
Of course.
What are the differences?
They're even more sophisticated than what we know. Much more superior than what we know. The Turkish makam is the most developed, the most variant, and the most intricate of all makams in the Arab world. They are very, 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 very advanced in music. The Turkish. I mean, now it's the leftover. Now what you're getting now is no longer that true Arabic type of music. It's the leftover now. Because now what they've been falling under the influence of European American music.
Right.
I mean, especially for the past 70 years, 80 right. years, they've been falling. In other words, their finesse that they used to have before started falling apart already. They didn't have that. Then don't you see, Egypt, 70 years ago, started becoming the master of world Arabic music. Right. Egypt. And that's where you had the development of people like Abdul Wahab. Where the hell did he come from? It's just that the seat of masterful music in the Arab world then sat in Egypt about 8 years ago. And that's where the hell Sheikh Yusuf and all these guys, these old timers that were incredible creators of music in the Arabic system, developing the material there. It's, you see, it runs, it drifts. It goes with the traded world.
I see. So the picture you're trying to paint is that in the 19th century there was a lot of Turkish influence, and then yet at
18th, 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries it was Turkey, Istanbul, Izmir. That's where this whole musical world of the Arab world was at that point. Although we have evidence of the fact that Arabic music was already being annotated in the year 700.
Right.
I mean, they were great scientists in the 7th, 8th, and 9th centuries. They developed music. They were the first people that were writing music. Mm-hmm. Identifiable written music that could transfer it from one person to another. Although they borrowed a lot of the Phrygian modes, which were already established in the Mediterranean areas. But they took them and they developed them. And they wrote notes to increase their knowledge and capacities of varying music, which was already known. So that remained what it were. Apparently, when the Turkish Empire came in and they established themselves and the sultans came or whatever it was, from the 14th and 15th centuries, Aleppo was always a master metropolis, because a great deal of the Sephardim in the end of the 1400s went to Aleppo in actuality and replenished the populace there as far as the Jews are concerned. And with them, music wasn't a natural thing. They brought in their Spanish Oriental music that they knew from Spain, brought it back with them to Aleppo. Aleppo already had music being developed there from Turkey when the 1400s had started, so that it became a very rich area of music, in general speaking. It was just one of those things, coincidental, that Aleppo was a seat of worldwide sophistication and knowledge.
That's great. Well, thank you for this is really tremendous.
Okay.
Tremendous.
I hope you got something out of it.
Oh.
Have a good day. I gotta run.
Okay.
Take care of yourself, huh?
You too. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.